Orange Blue News Podcast here, previewing the Illinois-Iowa game on Friday night. We've got Tom Kaker from the Iowa Rivals side here joining us, along with Kedrick Prince and Doug Bouchon. So I'll let you guys kind of jump in here. Tom, what are you looking forward to with this game Friday night?
Well, you know, I was telling Kedrick earlier this week that the last basketball game that I think all of us probably attended, or any of us attended, that had fans was – the last time Iowa and Illinois met on March 8th down in Champaign, and just what a terrific game that was and how exciting it was. Came down the last seconds with, you know, Garza going at Kofi and trying to score late and not being able to score. And now we just kind of savor those moments of having fans and how wild that was and how intense it was with Connor McCaffrey and Williams going jaw to jaw at midcourt, and just, you know, the rivalry and everything. So now we'll see what this chapter is. It sucks that it's only one game this year, though.
Yeah.
They're playing twice, but we'll have to make at least one game, and maybe another one in the Big Ten tournament.
It should be a fun one, no doubt. I'm pretty sure they probably won't have as many Fran McCaffrey head cutouts like they did last year either. So yeah. That was definitely entertaining.
Fran's getting off easy this year, I think.
Yeah, no question. No Fran con meters or anything like that coming up. So no. It's a great rivalry. It's fun to have two teams that are both, you know, they're both nationally ranked. You know, Iowa higher than in the top 10. You know, Illinois in the top 20, and has been in the top 10. So these are two teams that have Big Ten title aspirations and are looking forward to maybe, you know, making a run. So, Ked, where do you think this stands as far as the conference rivalry? I think before the season, Ked, you picked Iowa to finish ahead of Illinois, as I recall. I think that was your quad city bias stepping in. But go ahead and what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, if you look at some of the legends of Illinois media members, I did an interview with Mark Tupper tonight, and he said the same thing. He said the same thing I did. Iowa is loaded offensively, and if Illinois doesn't have – Illinois needs more guys than just two guys to score. They have seen, you know, flashes of Adam Miller. They've seen flashes of Trent. You know, we've all talked about Trent being that guy, you know, who's a proven scorer, but they need more guys. You're not going to beat Iowa with two or three guys. But I guess, Tom, my question for you is, well, have you heard anything about Fredrickson? I mean, how's his health?
Yeah, that's the big deal. And we talked to Fran McCaffrey this afternoon, and he gave a kind of a nothing new. And some of the comments from Connor McCaffrey kind of suggested, I don't expect C.J. Frederick to play. That's a guy who's 26 of 52 from three-point range, 50% on the season. Low mistake guy, shoots 48% overall from the floor. Just kind of one of those glue guys that you really like on the court. A tendency to hit big shots when they need them. So if he doesn't start or doesn't play, then you're probably going to see Keegan Murray, who started the second half of the Indiana game. I would guess Keegan gets the start, which gives him a little more size. But he's a, you know, true freshman who's really hasn't been bothered by anything. He's averaging almost 8 points a game, and you know, one of the only players, the only player in the country, coming off the bench to have 100 points, 65 rebounds, 15 blocks, and 15 steals this year. So, you know, he's been really a pleasant surprise for Iowa this year.
Tom, let me ask you real quick. You know, you being from the area too, you know, this is a big game for the fans who live all across the country. But do you think this weekend or this Friday night the players can be so hyped up to where it affects the game, where it's not a good game, or somebody gets in foul trouble? I'm sure there'll be some trash talking. That's to be expected. But do you think it could get to that point to where it's so competitive to where it's an ugly game?
It was pretty apparent talking to Connor, especially Joe Toussaint a little bit today. We talked to him and also Luca Garza, but Luca kind of said the same thing every time. But especially talking to Connor, who was one of the guys that was jawing with Williams, he's surprised by the intensity of this thing, and now he's all into it. And Connor's pretty intense dude. So You know, he likes that competitive fire. He basically said, you know, when I was in high school, it was like Iowa State and UNI and things like that were big games. And he goes, now this one's pretty big. So he's pretty fired up for it. Toussaint was pretty fired up for it, but Toussaint had the quote of the day. I put up on Twitter, put up the video clip of them. They asked if he, you know, had the emotions for this game. And he said, I hate everybody. You know, and that's just that competitive spirit that he has, that he hates anybody who's he's competing with on the basketball court. So, you know, it was pretty funny. He's like, I just hate everyone when I'm playing basketball against him. So, you know, he's going to bring that too.
Tom, you know, typical of the Big Ten and just about every year, but probably more so this year, you never really know what's going to happen. There's a team at the bottom of the standings that might have a great game and knock somebody off. Illinois lost two home games in the conference recently. They lost to Maryland. Unfortunately for the Hawkeyes, they came out a little flat against Indiana, and a surprising outcome in that game. Can you just Garza got his points in that game. I think he had like 28. Wieskamp scored double digits, but then you had a couple of starters went 0 for 11 combined, you know, and had a really off shooting night. Can you just talk about what happened in that game? And was there something that IU did to slow down Iowa, or just one of those nights where they can't get shots to fall? But Tom's frozen right now, so the Brad, if you could address that one. If you watched the IU Iowa game, what'd you see? Was it just a bad night for Iowa?
Well, I think that's a big part of it, is Iowa had a rough night, but you know, some of it was what Indiana did. They were able to bring the help for Garza from a place where they didn't give up the open shots. Also, obviously, Fredrickson being up, you know, or not being on the floor changes things for Iowa. But at the same time, what they were able to do is they brought that help at the timing was really good. And that's part of it with Garza. There are times if you can get the help at the right time, and then it makes him maybe make a difficult decision or puts him in a negative situation where he's one on two and you take away the passing lane to the weak side, where you can be effective against him. He's going to score. I mean, the dude's going to get isolations. He's going to get post-ups. He's going to go quick. He's going to score. He's going to get spot ups in transition. He can run the floor. He's going to get his points. And so they're find a way to get in the ball. But what you have to do is make it so he can't facilitate to those other guys when you do double team or when you do force him into a difficult situation. So you got to make sure your help's in the right place, coming from the right person, you're tagging the right guy. And then the other part is the rotation from the backside has to be really good. I thought IU was fantastic in that regard. So all of Bohannon's shots, instead of being step-in threes, they were off the dribble. They were on the move, and it makes it really hard for him to be as successful offensively. Now, when you look at that and you say that sounds great, but the other part is that Indiana still they were the biggest thing was they still Iowa in a bad game scores more than 1 point a possession. They're still good offensively. So the big thing is that you have to make sure that you score against Iowa as well, because you got to score. You're not going to just shut them down and win 60-56. It's not one of those games. You got to score.
Yeah, and you know what I said? That's what I said to them early in the week. I mean, and as bad as Iowa looked against Indiana, I don't think it was Indiana's defense. Iowa just didn't play well, because I can guarantee you both Jordan Bohannon won't go 0-13 against Illinois this weekend, this Friday night. That was a huge factor as well. But when we talked earlier in the week, Tom talked to me a little bit about, you know, Fran talking about that being the blueprint of how to slow Garza down. The key thing you said, Brad, was the timing. The way they doubled down on him at different angles, it really made him think. It helped the fact that Indiana didn't make any shots. I mean, it really did. But you're right. They're just a hard team to slow down. And my thing is, if Illinois they want any chance of winning this Friday night, they're going to have five guys on the court that's going to be able to score, who's going to be a scoring threat. I think if there was a surprise to me, I think Iowa is going to be very, very surprised. I think Luka Garza is going to be surprised at how much better Kofi has become. I'm a big fan of his. Going into the season, I'm not going to lie, I have my doubts. because he was just a guy that could just dunk a basketball. He is becoming more and more polished. Yes, his hands are a little rough, but the guy has post moves, and that's just, and he's strong. And Luka has not seen anybody like that all year. And the thing is, Luka doesn't foul a lot. So Kobe just has to convert and finish because he's not a big shot blocker because he wants to stay on the floor. So they need a big night. And I think there's an X factor Friday night. It has to be Trent. Trent, if not, then maybe it's got to be Adam Miller.
We got Tom back. He popped back up. And Tom, we were just talking about the IU game. And Brad talked about that a little bit. Yeah. Could you jump in on that? You know, sure. Was it just an off shooting night for Iowa, or was it something Indiana did defensively?
It was, you know, they beat Iowa last year in Bloomington too. And kind of the same philosophy where they were, they would let Garza get his, you know, last year at 38 in Bloomington, I think, but they just kind of locked out the rest of the guys on the outside, and they kind of went with that same philosophy, but with under 10 on the clock, they would run double and triple teams at Garza just, and there's nowhere for him to go. Then he's just, you know, he's got to either throw up a tough contested shot or try and find somebody on the perimeter to get a shot up. And it just didn't work. And what happened to Iowa too, they let their struggles on offense. They went 11 minutes without a field goal in that game from the 12-minute mark to the 1-minute mark of the game. They did not make a field goal. They made some points on the foul line, but they did not make a field goal, and it's hard to win doing that. And their defense just went away. They couldn't guard in man. They couldn't guard in zone. And when you have those situations happen, it's tough to win. They didn't have their best stuff. It was like kind of a baseball analogy I used during the game was they were like a crafty veteran pitcher that just hung around in a game until like the sixth inning. But then he just, in this case, he just got shelled in the seventh and eighth inning and lost the game. Just the stuff just ran out. But they didn't play well. And, you know, after the game, Fran McCaffrey kind of hinted at it. And some of the players kind of hinted at it too, that maybe they relaxed a little bit. They kind of thought they could just roll the ball out and play and beat Indiana. And that's not how it works in the Big Ten. And that was a hungry Indiana team that was desperate for a win. And they came out and they guarded, made big plays, and really, you know, beat Iowa pretty soundly. The final score didn't indicate how one-sided I think it could have been, because Indiana missed a ton of free throws. It could have easily been a 20-point game.
Brad, a couple of things from what Tom was saying. You know, if shots are going down, Iowa is obviously one of the best offensive teams in the country, if not the best offensive team in the country. That's kind of a quandary for Illinois. Do you close hard on shooters, and then you got a single coverage or whatever on Garza inside? How do you think they draw up the defense for Illinois to try to slow them down?
Well, it's just like I was talking about and what Tom mentioned too. You have to put them in a situation where they can't get out and run in transition, get threes in transition, because they're very effective there. So you can force them into a half court, make them get a couple ball reversals to throw it in. Then you have a limited time on the shot clock. It allows you, and like you mentioned, when it's under 10, they can run that double from the weak side, and it's hard to get that kick out and make two, three passes, and it becomes a rush shot. And I think that's what you're going to see. I think you're going to see them trying to get – they have to get back in transition. Now, Illinois likes to crash the offensive glass, as we know, and so that's going to be a tough thing for them. They're going to have to crash the offensive glass, but they have to get back in transition, because although Iowa, you don't look at them and say, man, they're so athletic getting up – that they are. They're great at getting to their spots, and they have a great transition offense. Because they can spread the floor in transition. So their ability to shoot makes it so you got a guy like Garza then trailing or running to the rim, and it's lights out if you let him get out in transition. Now, some of that comes down to, two, score. Make baskets and you slow down the transition. And I think when you look at Iowa, I was looking at their points. When they are good offensively, they're also better defensively. And so it kind of goes with that. When they've struggled on offense a little bit, then their defense hasn't been as good. And so, and not saying that's unique to Iowa, but that's how you have to do it. I think you got to score to put pressure on them offensively. Because if you don't score, and Illinois has the ability to score too. I mean, these are two top 10 efficiency teams in the country offensively. So you just got to score and then have your game plan set up. But you also can't get spooked if Iowa scores 10 straight points, because they will, because they're that good offensively.
This is the fun stuff, both you and Tom, Brad, and that's Garza can shoot the basketball. He can stretch the defense. He's going to try to pull Kofi away from the basket a lot. And how do you think Illinois approaches that? Are they going to flip guys on him, or is Kofi going to try to cover him the whole game? Because I see Kofi getting in some foul trouble if he tries to guard Garza for the whole game.
I think that's an interesting thing, because I don't think Brad Underwood wants to play zone. So he's probably going to, you know, Kofi's going to have to guard him. What Iowa does is they'll put Garza in the ball screens a lot up high, the high ball screens, and they'll just he'll just kind of float out, and that's where they get a lot of shots. One thing I was going to mention, fun stat for this game, you know, Bohannon shot terrible in the Indiana game. He was 0 of 9 from the floor, 0 of 8 from 3 in the game. Iowa's 9-0 when he makes 2 threes in a game. So I call it the Bohannon barometer, and it's basically if he's shooting the ball well, everything else opens up. It's hard to double Garza. It's harder to shade onto Wieskamp or Frederick or anybody else. So that's just wanted to throw that out there.
That size on the wing gives Illinois some trouble too, doesn't it, Brad?
Yeah, no question. That's been their biggest issue, is guys that have length on the wing. You know, the Maryland game, you know, the length on the wing gave them some fits. And so those are games, those are things they've struggled with. They've actually done a pretty good job against big guys, but Garza's a different animal, obviously. I think he's the number one – I think he's the best big guy in the country as far as offensively, for sure. So the wing, you know, can, you know, Wieskamp with his length a little bit outside, can he contest some of those shots? Because Illinois is not long. I mean, that's one thing they struggle with. They're kind of short. I mean, there are times when they have Curbelo and Frazier, so they're like 6 foot, 6'1" with both guard positions. So, and even Miller's 6'3", even though he's a little longer. But so that's something they've struggled with. I think what Illinois has to do is they have to vary the way they defend Garza. I don't think you can just say we're going to defend him this way. Like, sometimes you may have to, and depending on who's coming off a ball screen, whether it's Toussaint, whether it's Buchanan, you're going to have to defend them differently. You're going to have to fight over. You can't go under ball screens, because that's going to be Bohannon. Like you say, it's the barometer will be high if you go under those ball screens. And so I think that the big key for them is they have to vary and make Iowa a little bit confused, make them think before they do things that can't be just easy to read. And so if they do that, then it's going to make it a little tougher. Garza can get his. Last year when Illinois beat Iowa, Garza got 28. So he's going to score. I mean, they're just good. And you just have to make him. And now at the other end, though, make him guard Kofi inside and make them, you know, work there. And I thought Iowa's zone in Iowa City last year gave Illinois fits, and they made it hard for him to get the ball inside. And then the length of the zone gave Illinois trouble. I look for Iowa to play a little zone against Illinois and force them to make it a little more difficult on them.
You know, what's really funny, Brad, you mentioned the zone. I think Illinois has played zone twice this year. I know they played against Baylor. I think they did a little bit, and it didn't last long. I think they did a little bit against Rutgers. Traditionally, I mean, I remember the game in Iowa City. Traditionally, teams don't zone Illinois very well, because the thing I like about what Brad does on offense, I mean, he puts one of his best passers at the high post, and they screen, and they get layups out of it. And for some reason, last year in Iowa City, I think they got out of that. They got, you know, they didn't do what they were supposed to do. They started just chucking up shots, which I remember him getting frustrated about. You know, late in the game situations. I would also, a lot of people were concerned about Kofi getting in foul trouble. I mean, I think he's been in foul trouble once this year. Brad does a really good job. I think some people don't understand Kofi's going to be the first guy to come out, because they're going to protect him. If he gets a foul, very rarely is he going to pick up another one before he comes out of the game. I think Luka Garza and Kofi both are extremely smart when it comes to foul trouble. I don't want to say they're bad defensive players, but I think they're not as aggressive as they should be, because they just don't. Because I can assure you, I remember watching Luka Garza play against Illinois, no matter who it was, he refused to go out and to really, really challenge shots, because if he gets a foul, it changes the game for Iowa. The one guy that kind of scares me, we talked about length, is Wieskamp. He's a tough matchup for Illinois. I mean, if you look at it, he's got about 3-4 inches on DeMonte. Trent's definitely too small to guard him. So he's a matchup. And I think if you bring in Georgie, I don't think he's quick enough on the perimeter to guard him. He's the guy of all the players that Iowa has that scares me a little bit.
Wieskamp has always played well against Illinois, too. He didn't play great in Champaign, but the other times, he's always played pretty well against them. The first meeting last year, he had 18 points in Iowa City. I think he only had 7 in the one in Champaign, but he had that Big Ten tournament game that Iowa Illinois played, and he was terrific in that game as well. So I know he gets geared up for the game. He's big. He's into the rivalry. So, you know, he lives on the, you know, in Muscatine, so he knows all about the rivalry and everything. So I suspect he's going to play well. Toussaint played really well. You know who played really well for Illinois last year that maybe they're going to miss in both games was Feliz. Played really well against Iowa in both those games. And he gave him he does the thing that gives Iowa a lot of trouble, and that's that was penetration and getting into the lane. And and he shot it pretty well, too. So,
Tom, let me ask you this. Who in Illinois that concerns you? I mean, like, how do you guys stop Iowa?
That's a good question. I don't know who they're going to have guard Iowa because, you'd think maybe Wieskamp will try and guard him because he's probably got the length and he's probably their best defender. But then you worry about him getting in foul trouble. And with Frederick potentially out, how long can you keep Joe off the court? So I would guess it's probably him. Maybe Connor McCaffrey tries to check him early. Connor said that if Frederick doesn't start, he's going to move to the two. So I would assume that he's going to guard Iowa then. That would be my guess.
You know, I'm interested to hear about what you guys think about the pace. Because from what Brad was saying, Iowa likes to play fast. Illinois likes to play fast. Who do you guys think that favors? Iowa likes to get down and shoot threes in transition. Illinois likes to get Iowa the ball, you know, in the open court. He's one of the best finishers in college basketball. Who do you think that fast pace, besides the fans, because it's going to be great for us, but, you know, who do you think that favors on Friday?
I think it's a wash. I'm going to tell you why. Both teams, Iowa's number one in the conference in scoring, Illinois' number two. It's a wash because both teams did exactly what you said, Brad. They like to get up and down the floor. It's who's making shots because both teams love to run. I mean, a lot of people will tell you, even the parents, you know, will tell you Illinois is best when they get up and down the floor, and so is Iowa. I don't think one team has an advantage because I think Trent's better when you get him in the open court. So I think having both teams run, that's why I don't want to see the officials take the players out of the game because I think it'll be a track meet. It's going to be a high-scoring game if they let them play like that. That's my take on it.
Yeah, Tom, what do you think? Who benefits the most from a fast-paced game?
Yeah, I think both teams could benefit from it. I think this is going to be a game that has some pretty significant runs in it, some 10-0 runs for both sides, maybe once or twice in the game for both teams. We saw that last time in last March where both teams kind of went on runs at different points in the game. I think what's going to be fascinating is how Brad Underwood and Fran McCaffrey use their timeouts when those runs happen. And if they do, because I know Fran is not one to burn timeouts very often. I don't know how Coach Underwood handles things at all, but so I can't speak to that, but Fran has had a little bit of a quicker trigger this year too. At Maryland, I know he called a couple timeouts real early when Iowa got off to a terrible start, and they responded after the second one and ended up going on like a 20-0 run in College Park to beat Maryland.
Well, I'm going to say that I think the fast pace, and you can chime in, Brad, I think the fast pace actually does benefit Iowa. If you watch Brad Underwood's teams over the last 3 or 4 years, they often have a hard time finding shooters in transition. And when they do, they just kind of fly at them and don't close and get a hand in their face. And if they do that against the shooters against Iowa, those guys can knock down threes and it's going to be a big problem. Also, Kofi Coburn running up and down the court, he can get worn down. He can get winded. So that benefits Iowa a little bit, and I'm curious to hear what Brad has to say about that.
I'll just throw out the stat. Defensive transition defense, Illinois is about it is a little bit better than Iowa statistically throughout the season on transition defense, if you go by synergy stats. And so they've been a little bit better, but I don't think they've seen anyone who shoots it. They've seen teams go to the rim in transition. They haven't seen anybody shoot it from three in transition. So, Doug, that's a good point. Can they contest the threes in transition? I think that's going to be a key for me. Last year, if you recall, that was when Illinois, right, it was shortly after that Iowa game, the first time last year that they lost, where they changed the lineup and brought Georgie off the bench. And so the second time they played Iowa, Georgie had a really nice 14, 15 minutes, and it allowed Kofi to maybe stay fresh. He still had a good game in like 25 minutes. So those are interesting things that are going to happen. I think Georgie's going to have to provide good minutes off the bench, because I don't know if Kofi's going to be able to play 30-plus minutes against Garza.
Cool. And, we're sitting at 30 minutes here. So let's go around the horn here. Give me two keys for your team, Tom, and then Brad and Kedrick, a couple of keys for Illinois, and a prediction on the score for Friday night.
Sure. I think a couple keys. I think bench play is going to be important, because whichever bench plays well, I think that's your winner probably in this game. Because I think the starters are going to kind of just equal each other out. You know, Io's going to get his, Luca's going to get his. You might have a random guy who goes off, but I think it comes down to bench play and who contributes more off the bench. And it's, you know, the random three-point guy that gets hot. You know, if a guy gets hot from three, I think that's a deciding factor. And the other thing, I look for both Iowa and Illinois to go to the post right away and try to establish their post guys and see if they can get a quick early foul on Luka or a quick early foul on Kofi to kind of upset the balance of the game. So I'm working on my prediction piece right now. I think it's going to be close, but without Frederick, I think Illinois is going to win the game. I just think CJ is such an important player for Iowa, and it kind of upsets their balance and the rotations and everything that they've kind of established during the year. And without him, you saw what happened in the second half when he didn't play against Indiana. They just sort of fell apart. So I would tend to pick Illinois probably by about 5 points.
My take to key to the game is, it's not the bench for me, it's what Trent Frazier and Adam Miller does. I've been saying this for all week. They have to have other guys step up. You cannot go a game where Trent's, you know, gun shy and he's 0-for-4 and Adam Miller's 1-for-6. I think the supporting cast of all five starters, if you look at the numbers, Iowa's just a little bit, they're a lot better offensively. I think key is you have to get those guys going early. Kofi's going to get his. And I think another key is try to limit Garza to under 30, because he's going to get his points, you know. And sure, he may have said in this press conference today, it's not that big of a deal. Sure it is, because he's going up against arguably the other best big men in the Big Ten. So keeping him under 30, and if they can somehow get Trent and Adam Miller to give them 10 to 15 points a game to offset what Felice did last year or Alan Griffin, I think is the key. I'm changing my score. I'm seeing 89-85 Illinois, only just because – it's at home.
Yeah, I like Illinois to win with CJ out, because I think it really takes away one of Iowa's key weapons. I do think it's going to be in the 80s. I think we're going to see, you know, get up and down. Big key for me is going to be foul trouble. If somebody gets in foul trouble, or it's Kofi, Luka, whoever it is, and Iowa, especially with him out, that could really limit their options on the wing if they get in foul trouble. And then the other key for me is still, I feel like the team that can get those transition opportunities, whoever's able to get out and run and get easy baskets again, is going to be the team that, you know, takes this one. So I'll go with foul trouble and transition defense and offense. So I think that's the key.
Yeah, I think you guys nailed the keys. You know, slowing down Iowa in transition is huge for Illinois. Foul trouble is huge for Illinois too, keeping Kofi out of foul trouble, you know, keeping him on the floor. And it'll be interesting to see if, you know, if the auto sit rule applies on Friday. If Kofi gets two quick fouls, is he going to go to the bench for the rest of the half? And I hope he doesn't. I hate the auto sit, but that'll be a key. I'm going to be the outlier here and say Iowa probably wins by 3 or 4 points. I think that they're just a little bit better team. I think that Illinois has some bad luck against three-point shooting teams for some reason. I don't know why, but finding those shooters in transition is going to be big for them and getting a hand up. But I'll take Iowa by about 3 or 4. So unless you guys have anything else, that'll wrap it up. And thanks, Tom Cakert from Hawkeye Report, Kedrick, and Brad. Until next time, this is the Orange and Blue News Podcast.